My name is Michael Boland, if you don't know me, and I serve here as the pastor. And once again, I want to wish, if you joined us late, all the ladies a happy Mother's Day. Now, most of you who are present this morning know that last week I was gone to a national workshop on Christian unity in the state of California. And while people get all jarred up because they think that this conference is about trying to make one global church, if you will, that's really not the case. These conferences are about us coming together to discuss the importance of language and its use to accurately or effectively have dialogue between one another so that we can find common ground, not only theologically, but missionally, so we can impact communities, continents, if you will, in times of disaster, in times of need. But language is the key in how we express our desire to do so. Through that, we share our feeling. We seek to educate others about our own theology and become educated about their theology. And then we use our language to invite all parties present into this conversation where knowledge and growth can happen. Now, since we are celebrating Mother's Day today, studies show that mothers are the primary teachers of their children. And to be more specific, the language a mother uses can offer comfort to a child, it can offer guidance, and it can express love. And while we would all agree that mothers are instrumental in framing the minds of children, a mother's language can be foundational on how children relate to life. The language of a mother helps to nurture images within a child's mind, educating them on what is harmful, what is fun, and what is right. You know, language has always been a medium of communication that helps to express and convey one's thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Now listen, I'm not wanting to bore you with this stuff, but language is important. And I highlight this because the language that we read in Holy Scripture is seeking to intentionally convey something to us about our God, about how it is that we are to live out as disciples of Jesus Christ. Anytime we look at language within Holy Scripture, it is trying to not only educate, but also create an imagery within our mind to help us have a greater understanding of what it looks like to be a child of God, what it looks like to be saved by God, what it looks like to be a faithful follower of Jesus. But here's the problem. Our language used to encapsulate God is finite and limited. So how can we use language that is finite or limited to describe a God who is infinite or without limits or measure? Well, the way the church seeks to do this is through a model of communication called analogical predication. Now, don't let that theological term confuse you. It's very simple in its meaning. What it seeks to do is take one word and use it to describe two subjects. For example, we say that quartz is a rock, right? And then we say that God is the rock of our salvation. Now, we don't mean that God is a quartz, do we? But what we do try to do is use the similarities from the characteristics of the word to help us have a deeper understanding of God's attributes. It reveals something to us about God, exclusively but not exhaustively, nor does it make God a creature. Now, historically, church folk have gotten their understanding of God from the language of masculinity. So since Jesus called God Father, most of our ideas about God are derived from fathers or father figures within our life. And listen, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But there are other uses of language that are used intentionally to convey aspects of God that we should want to know and embrace. So since today is Mother's Day, I want to invite us to expand our horizon and understanding of God through language used in Scripture that depicts attributes of God through feminine language. Through feminine language. To do this, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles up to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. We're going to read just three short verses from the 49th chapter. Again, Isaiah chapter 49. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. 14 through 16. Are we ready? All right. Join me, please. But Zion says, "The Lord has abandoned me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Fail to pity the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I won't forget you. Look on my plans I have inscribed. Look on my palms I've inscribed you. Your walls are before me continuously." Let's read that again. But Zion says, "The Lord has abandoned me. My God has forgotten me." But the response that we read in verse 15 is actually Isaiah sharing God's word back to them, saying, "Can a woman forget her nursing child? Fail to pity the child of her womb? Even these may forget. But I won't forget you." He goes on to say, "Look on my palms. I've inscribed you. Your walls are before me continuously." This is the word of God for the people of God. Will you join me in a short prayer? Holy God, we come this morning and we're going to look at your word in a little different way today in hopes that you will give us all a greater understanding, a more in-depth appreciation of your love for each of us. So may the feminine language, or the continuous reminder of that, not be a stumbling block for any who are worshiping with us at this time. But it may enlighten us in ways that cause us to love you even more. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, to some surprise, this passage is just one of many that are intentional about defining God through maternal language. Within the book of Isaiah, feminine imagery is used not once but three separate times to describe God. Other passages within Holy Scripture portray God as a laboring woman, a mother eagle, a midwife. And our reading this morning portrays him as a mother. Now, before I go any further, let me be very clear. The Bible clearly teaches that God is neither male nor female, but spirit. But when God is intentionally described in masculine or feminine language, the writer is trying to convey something about God to the reader. Feminine God language was often a useful tool whereby the church was able to understand God's immanence. By contrast, masculine images for God were ways of noting God's transcendence. So to say that God is intimate is to propose that God is close to or dwells within the limits of human experience. And to say that God is transcendent is to suggest that God is above, apart, or external to creation. And as people of faith, we believe both things. But our text is desperately trying to convey that God is a nurturing God. And here is why. If we'd have taken the time to go back at the beginning of the chapter, we would see that Israel thinks God has forgotten about them during their Babylon captivity. Yet God looks to comfort them by saying, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast or have no compassion on the child she has born? Even if they forget," he says, "I, God, will never forget you. I always think about you. And your name is always close to me." You see, God here in feminine language is looking to impart unto Israel the restoration that he has promised to them, the restoration that is coming. His tender love and nurturing heart has great plans for them. But instead of grasping what the language is trying to convey, they respond with disbelief. You know, as I wrote this sermon last night, I pulled a Donnie since I come in late. It made me wonder, how many people are worshiping with us today are missing what God is wanting us to receive because we choose not to see the attributes of God portrayed through feminine language? And then I got to thinking, well, maybe that's too harsh, Michael. Maybe you should ask it a different way. So I felt the Spirit say, Michael, write this down. How many of us today are missing God's invitation to be even closer because of the guilt of sin in our lives? You see, God wants to assure us, as God was wanting to assure the original readers, that there is nothing we can do that will ever separate us from the presence of God this side of heaven. Like a mom, God is going to love us despite ourselves. Like a mom, God is going to believe in us when we choose not to believe in ourselves. Like a mom, the tender and intimate moments God shares with us will always surpass the heartaches we may cause in our relationship with God. Now listen, I know that not everyone here today and worshiping with us at home has had a positive relationship with their mother. And I'm sorry for that. So I can only draw from my experience with my relationship with my own mom. And my relationship with my mom offers me a great hope about my relationship with God. You see, even when I did something that my mom did not agree with, her disapproval never meant abandonment. Even her punishment was an expression of her love and care. This imagery of God in feminine language is something we all should seek to understand. It's something we should all seek to embrace because it's trying to specifically communicate to us attributes about the God we say we love and the God we say we want to serve. Now, just in case I've missed the mark, let me ask a hypothetical question I hope will drive home our point this morning. If you had a dog at your home and that dog happened to bite the next door neighbor's child, who would you rather deal with? The man of the home or the lady of the home? Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather deal with the man than the lady. I mean, we've all undoubtedly heard that wise advice to never become between a mother, a bear, and her cubs, right? Well, I don't know about you, but I know a whole lot of mamas who can act in that same way. What's the old saying? How's it go? Hell has no fury like a scorned woman. Well, I think we can apply that fury when anyone attempts harm to a woman's child. No doubt. You will feel her fury. I am 55, almost 56 years old. You come up here and intentionally hurt my feelings in front of my mother, and friends, I'll let you know, even inside of the church walls, you will still experience her fury. What I want us to take from that is this. This is the same truth that applies to us with God. Anytime the enemy wants to distract, deter, or derail our life of faith, what these efforts will meet is the fury of God. Just like a mother will lavish grace upon their children, whether they're right or wrong, and defend them, that is how God is. We sin, but our Creator still defends us anyway. We fall short, and our God continues to love us unconditionally. We make poor decisions, and God, like a mother, allows you and I to find comfort through a loving embrace. I really hope and pray that we're beginning to see why this feminine language about God is so important. I hope we can see how our relationships with our mothers can compare to our relationships with God. But again, just in case I have failed to communicate clearly, let me offer one final analogy. It's a contemporary parable about a woman, who was traveling through an area with her baby on her back. And during her travels, she became aware of a prairie fire that was surrounding her. Story goes that as she looked and panicked to try to find an escape, there was no route of escape. So this mother hurriedly took the baby off her back and began digging a hole in the earth with her bare hands. She then placed her child into it and covered the child with her own body. Later, they found the mother's body. She was dead. But the baby, he was saved. Now, we all can express the depths of this woman's love for her baby and agree on how heroic she was in her actions. But the story, my friends, is not so much about the mother, but it is told in hopes to help people understand what kind of a God we have. You see, this is exactly what our Creator did. On the cross, Jesus covered us with His death from the raging consequences of sin. And while we were safe in the hole, the Savior of the world took our punishment for our wrongdoings. So, brothers and sisters, each time you open your Bible at home and you come across a passage of Scriptures that describes God in a feminine language, it is an opportunity for us to see the cross of Jesus in a different way. It's an opportunity for us to acknowledge attributes of God that masculine terms cannot adequately communicate. And while neither, meaning masculine or feminine, can reveal God to us exhaustively, both offer exclusive truths about God's affection for us and just how passionately God loves us. So let me say this again, because I felt last night in my preparation the Spirit say, somebody needs to hear this morning. Our feminine language from Isaiah invites us to see God as one who will support us in times of need and care for us despite our disobedience. Just because we fall short of living a continuous, faithful life does not mean that God has stopped mending us. Just because we do not, just because we continue to sin doesn't mean that God will stop defending us. Our brokenness does not change. Our brokenness does not change who God is. His caring, nurturing, and loving attributes will never be altered because of our poor decisions. I think that's important to remember. I think it's very important to remember. I don't know about you all, but there are times that I get so caught up in my own sins, in my own brokenness, that while I can sit down and talk to one of you across from my desk, or sit down with somebody at Edna's and talk to them about God's grace and forgiveness and really believe that there ain't nothing they could have ever done that God won't forgive, I have a hard time sometimes believing that's true for Michael Bolin. And maybe that's true for you. Maybe you're very good at helping other people to experience God's grace and forgiveness, but you struggle with receiving and accepting it for yourself. I'm hoping today that as we celebrate the life and love and influence of mothers in our lives, I hope we can also leave here today knowing and celebrating that we have a God who loves us even when we live or act in unloving ways. That we have a God who is willing to extend forgiveness to us even before we acknowledge that we need it. That we have a God who chooses to see our potential and calls us by our name, not by our shortcomings or our sins. You see, God loves us like a mother. In the same way that a mother opens the door and calls for her children to come in, this morning God is standing at the door of your heart, extending an invitation for you to even grow ever closer to Him. My final question is, how will you respond? How will you respond? Will you join me in a short prayer? Almighty God, we come this day and we know that if there's ever a true expression of God's love in this earth, it is done and expressed through the love of a mother. So we give thanks for mothers who are able to express that, and for those who who've had mothers that weren't able, we ask God that you use this teaching as a time to redirect their understanding of how passionate you love us, to what extent you're willing to go to care for us, to nurture us, and to defend us. And Lord, we also know that the invitation that you extend to us is continuous. For some, it might be the first time to receive the invitation and accept the gift of salvation. But for those of us who have already repented and received your gift of eternal life, that invitation is still calling to each of us, inviting us to grow ever deeper and ever closer in our knowledge and love and relationship with you. So may your Holy Spirit speak to each one this day, giving them the strength to respond to your invitation, an invitation that is a loving embrace that brings about comfort and nurturing and hope. We love you, Lord. We're grateful and thankful this day for the mothers who love us and for the way that you continue to love us unconditionally. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.